Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships. Hey, I'm so glad to see that you've tuned in today. So this topic is a question that I have been asked again and again and again by so many singles. And it's, is it my fault that I'm single? Now, if you're asking this question yourself, you know, you've probably either just gone through a breakup, or you've been single for a while, or maybe single for a long time, and you're kind of afraid of meeting someone new and repeating the same patterns from previous relationships, or you're blaming yourself for your breakup. So let's kind of talk about this, because the thing is, if we have that kind of emotional baggage in the background or that burning in the back of our minds, well, what we're going to be doing subconsciously is pushing relationships away, because in our minds we're going, oh, that hurts, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know if I'm broken, and I don't know if I'm actually able to have a healthy relationship, and maybe I need to go and get some dogs or cats and just give up altogether. Can I just say, you don't need to give up. And also, can I put your mind at ease and just say, no matter the relationship, it takes two to tango. You can't have one person, doing their best all the time to sort of build the relationship up, fix the relationship, grow the relationship. It takes two. So, and the other thing is, like, some people just aren't compatible, and that's okay. That's nobody's fault. And it's funny because I tend to see this a lot, especially when people have gone through things like divorce, if they've got kids and they've gone through a breakup, there's so much blame. And there's often this phrase that a lot of people say. It's like, oh, I failed. What do you mean you failed? You failed by recognizing that you weren't in something compatible. You failed because you were able to let go of something that's no good for you anymore. You failed because you've grown and you've been able to say, well, hang on, I want something better for me. That's not a bad thing. That's not failure. Failure is staying in the wrong kind of relationships. Failure is showing your children what a toxic relationship looks like. Failure is not doing what's right for you and what's not right for your partner as well. So the thing is it's not your fault. And it's also really important to remember that we're all human. We all go through, you know, life's ups and downs, and we all make mistakes. We all, you know, have the highs and lows of life, but it doesn't mean anything about you. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. No one says, oh, this is the step-by-step plan of how anyone can have a healthy relationship. No, because it's all unique and different for you, for everybody else, for partners that you've been with in the past. It's different for everyone. And every relationship, because of that, is different in some sort of way. So one thing I kind of want to talk about is relationship patterns and dating patterns. Because what I tend to get as well is a lot of people saying, like, well, I know there's something wrong and I can't quite put my finger on it, and I keep doing the same things again and again and again, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what's wrong with me, and all I want is to be loved. I just want to be in a healthy, loving relationship. I want to meet someone who wants that too, rather than lies and just fakes it for a while, and then, you know, a few months later they either ghost you or you're in a relationship with someone who's completely emotionally unavailable. And that sucks. You know, no one wants to go through that. So what is going on? What is going on beneath the surface. And, you know, one thing I tend to ask people a lot is, you know, what are the type of people that you gravitate towards? And also, what have been the relationship problems that have come up? Because, you know, a lot of people tend to go, oh, you know, I don't trust my judgment. I'm afraid of entering the wrong relationship again. And the thing is, as well, when people go through breakups, it's almost like they have to go through this period of rediscovering themselves. You know, you start going through the questions of, well, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? What's my future look like? And even the future can be such a scary thing to look at, you know, especially when you've gone through a breakup. So let's actually just start with you for a second. Because sometimes there are things under the surface that we don't realize that can cause us to go in the same type of relationships again and again. There's things that are under the surface where it can cause us to push away love or love in a certain way or love certain types of people. So what is it that you actually need to look at? One thing that is quite underrated, because this is the thing, like most people go, well, you just dated the wrong person. You know, they were just wrong for you. They were this, that, and then the other, and you're great, and nothing wrong with you, and you just need to get out there again. Not all the time. If something's happening again and again and again, there's possibly something going on underneath the surface. I think, you know, my dad always says, there's always a common denominator. Was it reoccurring patterns or reoccurring problems? Always look for the common denominator. I'll get my teeth back in. And it's true. If you're finding yourself going into the same types of relationships again and again and again, there's something going on. And we'll kind of talk a little bit about that. And, you know, if this wasn't true, then check this stat out, because this is where it gets interesting. So obviously, you know, divorce happens in, I think it's like 51% of relationships. But did you know, if you get married for the second time, the chances of divorce increase drastically. And they increase again if you get married a third time. And they increase again when you get married a fourth time. So this really screams out that there's a pattern at play that so many people aren't realizing. So when we have a look at things like, we all have that friend, right? Where they go into a relationship, they date the same kind of person, whether they're, you know, the person's a cheater, whether that person is unreliable, whether that person's emotionally abusive, they go through it again and again and again. And one of the reasons why is that there's a part of their identity that goes, well, this is what I deserve. This is what should be normal for me. This is how I should be treated. And the sad thing is, in their subconscious, they're going, well, this is the only way that I can get love. I only feel love when I have attention, and it can be positive or negative attention. Or I only feel good when I've got other people's problems to deal with, so I don't have to tune into myself. Because if I'm always fixing my partner's problems, I'm fixing my friend's problems, I'm fixing my parents' problems, I haven't got to think about how I'm feeling or my problems or anything like that. I don't have to have time for me. And this is the other thing, is that when people are in this kind of stage two, they don't know how to connect with themselves. It's like when I talk to people and I say, well, when was the last time you emotionally checked in? Oh, I don't know, maybe last week, month ago, or when this happened. And this is the thing, we're taught more to think now rather than feel. And there's this thing where, you know, when we talk about feelings, well, this is our connection to ourselves. This is our connection where it's like, okay, do I feel good? Does this relationship feel good? You know, what do I want? What makes me happy? Because that's all driven from that too. So when people are disconnected from that, guess what? They're disconnected from their partners. They're disconnected from their relationships. They're disconnected from their friends. Because you can only, and this is something I always say, you can only connect to someone as deeply as you are connected to yourself. And one thing that I am going to talk about as well, because this has a huge impact on relationships, is narcissistic relationships or controlling relationships. When people come out of those types of relationships, they have this period where they have to go and find themselves again. Because they've always had a living and breathing and ever-changing rule book, you know, constantly attached to them. Don't wear this. You're not allowed to go out. I don't like that friend. And they've always had that kind of person verbalizing that, controlling their every move. So when that restriction's gone, it's almost like, and I've been through this, I've seen so many people go through this as well. It's almost like you drop a five-year-old at nursery or, you know, school for the first time or something like that. And they're looking around for you and going, well, where's mum or where's dad or where's the person that usually tells me what to do? I don't know what to do anymore. This feels wrong. And you often have children crying and things like that being dropped off for the first time. And it's because they haven't got the security of those rules. Am I doing the right thing? Can I get the approval of doing these things? Rather than what feels good to you? What do you want? Because it's so easy when we've got another person making the choices for us. So when people go through things like narcissistic relationships, there's often this period of, like I said, self-discovery. And even people who haven't been through those types of relationships, I feel that a lot of people who, you know, are recently single or been single for a couple of years, there's this element of, well, what do you want for you? Do you know yourself enough? Do you know what's going to be really good for you? Do you know what's going to make you happy? Do you know what you want in a relationship? Do you know where you want to live in a year's time? Do you know what job you want? Do you know what you want for the future 5 years from now? And it's like, all, if you don't know yourself enough to be able to answer those questions, how on earth are you going to be able to meet a compatible partner? Because a partner as well, when you meet someone, you want to meet someone who's compatible and aligned with what you want and who you are. I think this is one of the things that I love about, you know, my relationship. I have got so many different interests with my partner. We've got so many aligned goals. We've got goals together. We've got goals as an individual. We know who we are inside and outside the relationship. And what I tend to find is people tend to do this back to front thing where it's like, well, I'll be whoever my partner wants me to be. I meet this person. They're really attractive. They're really nice. And, you know, they said that they want to move to Bulgaria. I don't know. Let's just pick a random place. You know what? Like, I've never thought about living in Bulgaria before, but I could live there. I could. It might be a bit weird. And it's like people sacrifice themselves. It's like, oh, what does my partner want? I'll merge into that. And I think we've all been guilty of that. But it's understanding, where is that coming from? And it's often coming from this place of like, please love me. Please, please, you know, I'll do this for you. And all I want you to do is just to love me. And it's, the problem is when people are in this phase or this pattern of begging or working for love in some sort of way, they're not getting love back. If you can't be loved for who you are, then how on earth is you doing things to make someone love you going to change that? It's not. This is one of the reasons why I really hate, I don't use that word often, I really, really hate hearing these things like, you know, say these 10 things to make them fall in love with you. I think what's the latest things of like, oh, send these texts, here's these scripts. No, 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 no. All this false rubbish that's out there does not create honest and genuine relationships, and it certainly doesn't create relationships that last. You don't need to do the whole wait an hour to text them back and, you know, be mean and treat them keen and, you know, whatever it is. What is it? Treat them mean and keep them keen. I don't know what's going on with me at the minute. But it's true. You don't need to do that. You know, did you have to do that with all your friendships, like just to trick them into liking you? No. And if you did, do you think you'd be friends right now? Probably not. So think about the way that we are treating relationships at this moment in time. Think about it. If you can't be loved for who you are as a person, and you've got to be loved for what you do, what you say, what you wear, what you look like, is that the kind of relationship that you truly want and you truly deserve? No. And this is the other thing. Most people fall into this trap. And are you ready for it? Because I'm going to get very, very, very real with you right now. The reason that people go into this trap is because they don't love themselves. They don't realize how freaking amazing they are. And, you know, if you're guilty of that, we think we've all been there at some stage, I want to say, look at how unique, how beautiful, how amazing you are as a person. Look at your life. Yes, it's had its ups and downs. There's been moments where you thought, oh gosh, can I really make it through? You know, you might sort of look back and go, well, you know, I'm not quite where I want to be yet. It's not good enough. It is. It's more than enough. Look at your journey. You have done, you know, you have done everything that you can you know, to get to this moment now, and you've done it, and you're still moving up. How amazing is that? Also, how rare is it to meet someone with your kind of values? You know, the kindness, the honesty, the loyalty, the humour, you know, we all have our very unique sense of humour, you know, and you've got that. You've got all these beautiful and wonderful things. And I often say to people, you know, what would you do if you met someone who had those values? Would you be like, oh yeah, you can get them, you know, anyone like that, 10 to a dozen or all these different things? No, you can't. You'd be like, wow, you know, this person is absolutely amazing. I really appreciate them because I understand how rare it is to find that in a person. That is when you start realizing how awesome and amazing you are. And one of the reasons why you should never, ever, ever, ever feel the need to work for love. Okay, and I kind of want to give you that right now. I really want you to take that in. You never have to work for love. You are love. And I know it's a very cheesy line to say, but you are. You are love. You are deserving of love. Love is your birthright. You should be loved for exactly who you are. You are perfect. And the moment that anyone wants to change you, the moment that anyone says, well, you need to do this for me in order to receive love, you know, maybe not verbally, but surely sometimes subconsciously, run. Because you deserve so much more than that. You are so much more than that. And the thing is, would you want, you know, flip this relationship over for a second? Would you want someone to work for your love? Or would you just look at that person and love them anyway for who they are? Have you ever turned around and said, you know, to partners, ex-partners, children, anything like that, no, I can't love you until you've done this. I can't even show you an ounce of love until you've done X, Y, Z. Can you suddenly see how ridiculous that is? But it is a trap that so many people fall into. So when you start looking at past relationships and say, well, okay, what is the real reason that your past relationships ended? What's the truth? And I say the truth because so many people fall into the story. You know, we've all been there. We've all been in that place of like, oh gosh, well, you know, we broke up and I'm just not lovable. And I just, you know, I always go into relationships where they break up and they use me and they do all these different things. We all fall into the trap of the story, okay? We all need that emotional purge. But what's the truth? Is the truth that you just weren't compatible? And does that actually mean anything about your lovability or anyone else's ability to love you? No. Has suddenly your value decreased as a person? No. Does it mean that you just weren't quite right for each other, but you had that experience where, you know, you could connect with this person, learn more about yourself. They had a chance to learn about them and you've enabled each other's growth. How empowering is that? Yes, okay, you know, it was painful going through the breakup and all those different things. But the truth is, you've grown as a person. You understand so much more now about what you want, what you desire, what you need. And how much easier is that going to be to find now because you're aware of it? So many people go into these kind of relationships or go into dating with this Russian roulette approach or this like, or even like a phishing approach. It's almost like, cool, I'll put my online dating profile onto this app. And it's almost like putting the worm on the hook and putting it in the water. And I'll just see who bites. And whoever bites, well, you know, I'll fish them out. No, please don't do that. Because otherwise you're just going to go for anyone. Can you imagine like being, you know, you can't really do this like nowadays because it's just dangerous. But can you imagine like being at a bar or being at a club or being wherever you used to be where you'd normally go and meet different people and you said yes to every person that approached you? Can you suddenly see how ridiculous that is? And, you know, if you've ever been like in bars and things like that, it's always the weirdos that approach you first. There, I said it. So it's really important. You know, you never have like, you know, the nice person. You're like, oh, yeah, they look amazing. It's never kind of like the fairy tale. It's always a bit, you know, some of the weirdos that tend to approach you first. And it's sadly, it's similar to online dating. So it's really important. This is one of the reasons why I take compatibility really, really, really seriously. It's because it is the difference between a long-term relationship or not. But in order to even get to compatibility, you need to know yourself. So what is it that you know about yourself? And one thing I love to be able to ask people, because people are always so clear on the negative stuff, is what's your deal breakers? Because the more clear you are on those, the easier it is to set boundaries and say no to the things that aren't right for you. So it might be something like, I don't date alcoholics. I don't date people who use drugs. It might be, I don't date people who, you know, don't like animals. Like, be really, really clear on what those boundaries are. Because the thing is, most people aren't clear on their boundaries and their deal breakers. And the funny thing is, in relationships that break down, there's often the deal breakers. There's often a deal breaker that's caused that relationship to break down. So, for example, one of my close friends, she's so freaking lovely. She's like one of these people that is like just so lovely, so warm, so, you know, will do anything for anyone. You know, really, really lovely, genuine person, heart filled with freaking gold. She's gorgeous. And one thing that happened to her, and I've seen happen to so many different people, is that from the very beginning, she always wanted to meet someone to have children with. And, you know, she entered this relationship with this guy and they were together, you know, 3-4 years. And from the very beginning, he said he never wanted kids. And, you know, you think about it, when you've been with someone for 4 or 5 years as well, you know, it becomes really, really difficult to let that person go. And it's like, okay, do you want to choose to have children, or do you want to choose to lose that relationship? And the thing is, as awful as that situation is, the truth was there in the beginning. And that's often something that hurts even more, especially when you've emotionally invested so much of yourself in that relationship. This is one of the reasons why boundaries, knowing yourself, and being clear on what you actually want is so important. So important. Because at the end of the day, you are picking someone who you want to be with for the rest of your life. You know, do you want to make sure that that person is someone who's reliable, someone who's honest, someone who's aligned with you, someone who wants the same things as you, or a lot of the similar things that you want in your life? Because can you imagine having your last day on earth and thinking, I wish I would have done this, but I knew that, you know, my wife or my husband would never want me to do that, and I feel like I've missed that opportunity. Would you really want to feel that? Would you really want to feel like you've sacrificed something? Because this also goes into this whole, this word that I really dislike. Not quite hate, but it's definitely a dislike. And it's compromise. You know, people almost expect, oh, I need to sacrifice this part of myself to be in a healthy relationship. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, you don't need to do the whole martyr thing of like trying to make a relationship work. You know, compromise. I think I saw something on social media recently and I thought it was fantastic. It was, what was it? Compromise is the word to try and fix incompatible relationships. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. Because the real word in a healthy relationship is collaboration. You work together. It's not, okay, you're going to sacrifice this so I get to do this, or any, you know, the other way around, whatever. It's how can we work together to get the best out of this situation for both of us and the relationship? See the difference? That's one of the reasons why I really don't like compromise. You don't have to give it all away. You don't have to feel like you've sacrificed something in order to be loved, in order to enjoy a healthy relationship or anything like that. So that's important. And the other thing, when it comes to like, is it your fault that you're single, is just being honest with yourself. And I think a lot of people aren't particularly honest with themselves, not because they want to be deceitful or anything like that. I often find that people are often afraid to look at, you know, certain areas of their life. You know, when you have like a painful memory, whether it's a breakup or whether it's something from childhood, and you know it's there, but you're not going to really prod around or look at it. And it's like, well, actually, sometimes it's worth doing that, because that could be a core element that's causing you to push away relationships or enter the wrong kind of relationships. And, you know, one thing I always say is the key to any change is awareness, because when you have awareness, you have a choice. If you choose not to have that awareness, well, guess what? You don't have a choice. So I think it's being able to explore yourself and explore your life with that level of compassion. Because this is the other thing. You know, we're not the kindest people to ourselves. We're often the ones that want to criticize. We're often the ones that go, oh, do you know what? If only I'd done this. Or why was I so stupid? Why did I stay in that relationship for so long? I knew it wasn't right. I knew they weren't going to change, and all these different things. That's not going to help you. You know, what would happen if you actually looked at it with compassion and said, you know what? I went into that relationship with the intention of, you know, loving them and them loving me. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. And I know that I did my best to be able to love that person, but they weren't able to love me back. See how much more empowering that is. See how much more truthful that is as well. Because it all comes back to, you know, being kind to yourself, healing, because a load of people want to skip that part. Most people are like, Lil, you know, please, can you just help me just get a date? Can I just go and meet this perfect person? And it's like, well, you know, you could, but if I brought your perfect person right now, do you know what's really going to happen? You know, if I bring out your perfect person right now, you're probably going to sabotage it because you've never had a loving, you know, relationship before. And it's going to feel odd. It's going to feel weird. You're going to feel really exposed because healthy relationships, say, you often find that someone sees you as deeply as you see yourself and you see them. And I've heard this time and time again of people getting freaked out by that in the beginning, especially if they haven't fully accepted themselves. So then what tends to happen is they push the relationship away, or they do things out of character to sabotage, and or they try to reenact the old patterns from their previous relationships. And of course, that doesn't go down very well with a healthy relationship, even if you are both aware. I mean, if I think about you know, mine and Jonam's relationship, but when we got together, so much came out in the first year, in the first, you know, 18 months. I didn't realize how much healing I had to do. I had this, like, before we met, I had probably about 18 months of intense self-reflection as well. So I went through, within 1 year, becoming an NLP practitioner, an NLP master practitioner, a life coach, a hypnotherapist. I learned about the behavioral profiling. I did all this stuff around self-discovery, healing. And I went into, our relationship. He had exactly the same kind of journey. And there was still so much that came out that we had to heal, learn about ourselves. And it was a bit of a shock to the system. But thank goodness, you know, we'd done enough work to, and also we're both self-aware to be able to muddle through it. I wouldn't advise that to people to do exactly what we did. But there was so much more healing and so many different layers and so much that we needed to actually understand about relationships in order for us to actually get to that healthy point. And we're still working it out. You know, I think we've been together just coming up 3 years now, and we're still learning about ourselves. We're still learning about each other. We're still learning about how to create that healthy relationship for both of us. And the truth is, it's a little bit like personal development as well. You know, you're constantly going to be learning and understanding and evolving. And this is what tends to come up as well. Like, you know, when we start thinking about relationships and the healthy element of it, is this word of commitment. And most people believe that commitment is all about the relationships. And actually, it's not. Spoiler alert. It's about the commitment to yourself. And the reason I say that is that the most toxic, the most problematic relationships are the ones where people commit to the relationship before they commit to themselves. And this is where you end up with, like, codependency. You end up with so many people who become enmeshed in their relationships rather than, you know, understanding themselves, committing to themselves and committing to their learning, their health, you know, their happiness. And the funny thing is, when you have couples where, you know, when you've got a relationship with two individuals who've fully committed to themselves, they can commit better in a relationship. And it's this beautiful thing because they've both committed to their individual growth, their individual happiness. They're accountable for themselves and it makes them better partners. But the moment you have people who just go, look, I just want to commit to the relationship. I'm loving you. Why aren't you loving me back? And it's like this thing of, self-sacrifice, because I think that's what a lot of people tend to do. They go into a relationship, sacrifice themselves, and then wonder why they aren't getting the relationship that they want or the love that they want. And it's like, Yeah, that's not good. That's not healthy. That's coming from a place of fear, of trying everything to try to be loved, rather than this place of, I love myself. I want to do the best for myself. And I want to show up as the true me. So I'm able to enjoy a healthy, loving relationship with my partner. And I want my partner to be able to do the same. Because the thing is, when you want a healthy relationship, when we have a look at things like commitment, the hardest commitments that we can ever make is to ourselves. I want you to actually think about that right now. Think about how hard it is to do something for yourself versus someone else. It's easy to sacrifice yourself to do something for us. And think about the boundaries of that person who is happy to do everything for everyone else. Think about the self-love for that of that person who's happy to do everything for everybody else but themselves. Think about how hard it would be to actually create a healthy relationship with that person, even though it looks great from the outside. That's the person that's working for love and getting the breadcrumbs. But what would happen if they could commit to themselves? What would happen if they actually knew themselves? What would happen if they actually knew what was right for them? What would happen if they were able to say yes and no in answers to what's actually aligned to what they desire for their life? Would their happiness improve? Would they feel more confident about themselves? Would they trust themselves? Would they be able to enter a relationship that's right for them? Would they have a higher chance of doing that? And this is one of the reasons why I went into this line of work. You know, I wanted to understand what it was to actually create a healthy relationship, what was actually needed. Because I was going in through these patterns. I was playing this thing of trying to earn love and do all the things to be the perfect girlfriend, the perfect partner, and fell badly on my face. You know, narcissistic relationships, commitment phobes, liars, cheaters, you name it. I get it. I really, really get it. And the thing is, the thing that I've learned after, oh gosh, probably the, you know, good 10 years of learning about myself and learning about relationships is that you are so important. Your identity is so important. The way you see yourself is so important. The way that you create your life is so important. Because if you're not seeing the value of yourself, you're going to really struggle to allow other people to see the value in you too. Think about it. The things that you probably appreciate the most are the things that you've been taught to look after. Like, I'll think of like a real random metaphor, but something that just came to mind was, as a kid, when I grew up, as I was growing up, my mum would buy all these amazing books. And books were something to be looked after. Like, it didn't matter what the book was, it was to be looked after. You're not allowed to bend corners, you're not allowed to bend the spines, you've got to be so gentle when you, turn the page. And, you know, from now, like even now, I'm in my 30s and I am like still being so gentle with books because that's what I was taught as a child. I was taught to treat books in that way. And this goes for you. You know, you think about your identity. As a child, you are taught how to treat people. You are taught how people should be treating you. And we take that on and keep that going for the rest of our lives. But it's not until you actually understand, okay, who are you? And what do you want? And does that feel good for you? Does that feel right for you? That you're actually able to change things. I was actually chatting to someone yesterday. So basically, dating's changed a lot for her because she's actually been told that she's not allowed to drink anymore. She's not allowed to drink. So you can imagine, you know, it's the first time that she's been going on dates and stuff and she's got to be stone cold sober. You know, for her, with the, like, she's got quite high anxiety, that was terrifying. Like, the thought of that was absolutely terrifying, because she had this thing that she believed when you go and date, that at some point it means that things are going to turn to sex. And that scared her, especially doing that part sober, because she didn't feel comfortable within herself. She didn't feel comfortable within her body. She didn't feel comfortable with actually saying yes and no to things. And she was in this place of still, you know, looking to earn love and prove herself. And as a result, you know, her sex life wasn't hers. And I've seen so many women go through this as well. And it wasn't until I said, well, do you want to have sex? Does it feel right to have sex with that person? Does that feel good for you? Do you want it? And it wasn't until I actually started asking her these questions and we started talking about it that she realized, oh, well, that's for me too. I get to choose. I get to choose if that's good for me or not. I get to say yes and no, and that's not going to affect if someone, you know, loves me or not. It's like, no. The person that's going to get upset with you saying no is the person that probably doesn't have your best interests at heart and they just want to focus on themselves. Is that the right person that you want a relationship with? Probably not. So when we start thinking about, you know, how to be in the perfect place to have the right healthy relationship, it's always about your relationship with yourself and the commitment you have to yourself and your life. You know, if I think about another person who went through a heavily narcissistic relationship, like extremely narcissistic, and, you know, when we started working together, the complete focus was on him, even though they'd been going through the divorce procedures and all the rest of it, everything was focused around him and trying to work out his next move and all these different things. And as a result, she completely neglected herself, even whilst going through the divorce and being separated. So, and then as a result of like her doing that, you know, things just went to pot. The slightest thing would make her feel really emotional and freak her out. And she was very up and down. Moving forward to now, she's calm, she's confident. She's actually got him paying, you know, child maintenance on time for the first time ever. So he's like been paying on time for the whole of this year so far. You know, so things have changed, but it's because her mindset has changed. She's now focused on her. What does she want? And guiding things and putting boundaries in place. Obviously, understanding how to deal with narcissists helps. And we went through all that with her. But, you know, it's about the mindset of putting yourself first. What do you want? And being able to be committed to yourself to be able to get that. You know, you have one life. You have one life. You know, at the minute you're breathing, you're healthy, you know, you're in the best possible place to make changes now for you that are aligned for you. So you're able to start moving towards living the life and enjoying the relationship that you want. But it's knowing yourself, having clarity on what you desire, and being able to say, that's what I accept. I don't accept anything less. Can you see the power within that? Can you actually imagine dating someone who knows themselves that much and how confident they are? Because the funny thing is, confidence comes from trusting ourselves. And the more that we trust ourselves, the more confident we get. And the reason we are actually attracted to confident people is because we know that they trust themselves, so we can trust them too. So from that place, how much easier is it to go into the right kind of relationship? Boom. Like, you know, you can think about that change now, how much that's going to change your dating life and your relationships, just as that little tiny bit of information filters through and you allow it to integrate into your life. You are allowed everything that you want. You are allowed to actually enjoy the life, the relationship that you desire, that feels good for you. Because the right person as well that has your interests at heart is going to want that for you too. Think about that. They are going to want that for you too. You're going to want that for them. They're going to want that for you. See? Healthy relationship. Easy as that. But the other thing as well is when we talk about our identities, we're talking about the truth of who we are. And the truth, and this is like something I might talk about in another time because this is such a big topic. The truth of who we are is actually uncovering the old programming that we've learned as a child, from friends, from relationships, from stories, from experiences. And then we're actually able to question it and say, well, is that me? Does that actually feel good for me? And, you know, when we think about, you know, what we were saying at the beginning, everyone is different. Every relationship is different. Yet, you know, we live in a society which is like, oh, okay, you need to do this. You need to go and get the job. You need to go and get married. You need to go and have kids. And you need to go and get the nice house with the white picket fence, maybe a dog and a cat. And if you don't, well, you're definitely not successful. And if you've been through a divorce, well, you've definitely failed. No, that's not the case at all. You need to think about what it is that you want. It's like suddenly, rather than this paint-by-numbers form of life and relationships, you want to be able to free-flow on that canvas. What do you want to actually put on there? What colours do you want to use? What medium do you want to use? Just play with it. Because the thing is, if you find something that you don't like and you put a bit of colour that you're like, oh, actually, I don't like that colour on the canvas, you get to choose to change it. And the same goes for life and relationships. Because with every discovery, every, you know, human mistake, for everything that we've accidentally, you know, found and learned and understood and gained and lost, we learn. We learn more about ourselves. So rather than saying, I failed or I've done something wrong, what would happen if you just said, I'm human? I'm human living out the human experience of me. And, you know, there's something so beautiful when we start moving from this place of criticism to a place of curiosity, because it feels exciting then. It feels more like an adventure. And that's how life should feel. That's how relationships should feel. It should be filled with this curiosity and this understanding and almost like, oh, what am I going to find next? And what am I going to learn next? And how am I going to grow? And what is it that I really want? Do I want this? Do I want something else? And can I give myself permission to be able to enjoy that? I hope so. Because also, imagine being with someone like that too. That sense of adventure, learning, compassion. Because the more that you are compassionate with yourself, the more you're compassionate in a relationship. Because we've all been there. We've all been there in relationships. We've blamed the other person. Like, oh, do you know what? They were just so bad. They never said that they loved me. They never gave me any attention. They never gave me any time. Well, can you imagine being with someone like that who just constantly talks about the relationship in that bad, rubbish kind of way and that blame? Sounds like someone who doesn't love themselves, who wants that love to be earned and given to them from this nagging and trying to get this, you know, trying to, it's basically this thing where people try to make the cookie cutter fit and they try to push the relationship in that mold. We're not meant for molds. We're not meant for molds. We're allowed to create our own experience of what's right. And it's not dictated by society. It's not dictated by your childhood. It's not dictated by friends. You're allowed to do whatever you want, whatever feels good. But it also means being with someone who's aligned with you and you being able to give them that freedom to explore that too. Only if it's aligned with you. Because this is the other thing. If you feel like the need to control or change your partner, you're probably with the wrong one. And this is like, again, circling back to what we were talking about before, knowing yourself enough to know what's right for you, what's wrong for you, and what you want for the future. So this has been a deep chat. And I hope that this is something that has resonated with you. And also, I would also love to know any other topics that you would love to learn more about or to discuss, because this radio show has been created to really help people to enjoy real, honest, and loving relationships. Because the truth is, not many people know how to get that. You know, you've got 51% of people going through divorce nowadays. And, you know, everyone deserves that chance to be able to be loved for who they are. And I truly believe that. I think one of the things that got me into this work in the first place was, you know, obviously going through a narcissistic, psychopathic relationship because they're fun. And, you know, I obviously took a lot and learned a lot about myself and about people. And it's got me to this journey of where I'm at now, which is amazing. But there was so much that I had to learn. And when I decided to fully commit to create this business, it was when I heard the stats. And this is, you know, UK stats. I'll share some worldwide stats in a moment. But, and also bear in mind, the UK is quite small to most places. But two women in the UK were getting killed every week by their partners or ex-partners. You know, like, how crazy is that? Because, you know, they went into a relationship wanting to be loved, but that didn't happen for them. And that seriously breaks my heart. And I wouldn't want anyone else to go through that. And the other thing is, you know, we're looking at stats in the US. Well, one in three women and one in four men go through physically violent or abusive relationships. Like, seriously, take that in. One in three women, one in four men. And it just shows and proves how wrong most people are getting it. So the more we share about love, the more we share and talk together about these different discussions of relationships and what's right, what's not right, and how to actually enter something that's right for you personally, well, it means the more amazing, beautiful, connected, deep, loving, and lasting relationships they're going to be. So seriously, if there's anything that you fancy chatting about and sharing, you know, jump onto our website. That's lovewithintelligence.com. And there's a space where you're able to actually share with us what it is that you would love to learn about through this radio show, because this is for you. This is for you to have that chance to ask those burning questions that no one else wants to talk about, that no one's really going deep on. And, you know, no one really understands. So I want to help you to discuss this in a deeper level. So hopefully you will get a better understanding. And also, so you're able to have a loving, long-lasting relationship that you feel proud and happy to have. So thank you so much for listening today. And I look forward to speaking to you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com. And I shall see you next time. Bye for now.